Will you stand to your feet with me all across the room? I want to take you into the Word of God today. To the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through verse 10. 1 John 4, 7 through 10. And I want to read from the New Living Translation of the Bible, and it says it like this. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I want to share with you for a few moments this morning on endless love. Heavenly Father, I pray now that Your word reaches where we are in this moment. Lord, if there's one thing that is desperately needed in the world that we're living in now, it is Your love. If there's one thing that is desperately needed in society, it is Your love. So many are looking for answers in all different places, but they're still searching because they have not found You. But I pray today in this house that Your word will go forth and Your love will reach out and touch us where we are. God, that when we leave this house today, that we'll feel more love than we've ever felt in our lives. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around, look at your neighbor and say, I love you, and God does too. Rodney, good to have you and your family with us today. God bless you for being in the house of God with us this morning. Endless love. Two very powerful words. God wants you to know up front and foremost today, He loves you. And not only the fact that He loves you, but the love that He has is endless. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can interfere with it. Nothing can get in the way of it. No matter how high you go, low you go, or where you find yourself in between, nothing can stop the endless love of God for you. Now, from that, we understand three words. God is love. A lot of people perceive God in so many different ways in this world today. A lot of people perceive God as a God who wants to dump wrath out upon them all the time. A God who is always wanting to punish them. A God who is always wanting to put them down and push them down. But the reality is God is love. He doesn't desire to punish anyone. He doesn't desire to put forth any kind of punishment upon our life. He desires to love us. So the Bible reveals that He is love. God loves you with agape love. I want you to hear this very closely. God loves you with agape love. It is a divine love, a love that you cannot know outside of God. It does not come from anybody else or anywhere else other than God Himself. C.S. Lewis identified four types of love in the Bible in the Greek. And those four types are this. There's one called storg, might also be called affection or familial love, which means familiar type of love. Eros is a romantic type of love. Philia is a friendship love. And then there's what's called agape love. Agape love is unconcerned with the self and concerned with the greatest good of another. Agape love is not born just out of emotions or feelings or familiarity or attraction, but from the will and as a choice. Agape love requires faithfulness. Agape love requires commitment. It requires sacrifice without expecting anything in return. Agape, I like that. Agape love is love that God gives and expects, and he gives it and doesn't expect anything in return. He loves you regardless. This is the type of love the Bible speaks about the most, agape love. Can I stop and tell you there is no love in human relationship that even compares to the love that God has for us. Think of the person in your life that you seemingly love the most, the person that you have the most love for, the most compassion for. Think of that person for a moment, and can I tell you that that love doesn't even begin to compare to the love that God has for you. We don't have the capability as humans to love like God loves. We can't love that deep. We can't love that high. We can't love that great. We cannot reach into that realm. The love of God is unconditional. Listen to me this morning. The love of God is an unconditional love. It only comes from Him. And I want you to hear this statement. It's the only thing that can truly fill the void in your life. Nothing else will fill the void places in your life like the love of God. That's the only thing that can reach into the deepest depths. That's the only thing that can reach into your hurts, that can reach into your fears, that can reach into your worries, that can reach into your anxieties, that can reach into your depression, that can reach into the different areas of your life. It's the only love that can reach in to those void, broken, hurting, misplaced places in your life. Amen. While you might find temporary fulfillment of love through people and material things, please hear this. There's no true fulfillment in life without the love of God. I want to make that very clear. There's no true fulfillment in life without the love of God. You cannot earn it, you cannot buy it, and you cannot win it. Because if you could buy it, there's probably some people in the world that would try. But you can have all the money the world has to offer. You cannot buy the love of God. You can't work hard enough. You can't do enough to attain it. It only comes through Him. A.W. Tozer said it like this. The love of God is one of the great realities of the universe, a pillar upon which the hope of the world rests. Can I say that again? One of the greatest realities of the universe. It's a pillar upon which the hope of the world rests. The hope of man rests upon the love of God. The hope of the world rests upon the love of God. The hope of society rests upon the love of God. Can I tell you the love of God? It's personal. I want you to hear this. It's personal. It is intimate with God. God doesn't take His love lightly. God doesn't just give His love lightly. God doesn't play around when it comes to His love for mankind. I want you to hear, He does not love populations, He loves people. Amen? I said, He doesn't love populations, He loves people. He does not love the masses, He loves people. We think the bigger crowd we can get, the more we can show the love of God. God's not concerned about how big the crowd is. He wants to know what the love's like. Amen? We need to understand God knows the real us. I want you to look over at your neighbor and help me preach. Look at him and say this. God knows the real you. So quit playing and trying to fake God. You busted her hide, I didn't. God knows the real you. And we can't play around with that fact. He knows who we are. He understands us. And He loves and accepts you just the way you are. I like that. He knows my weirdness sometimes. Don't laugh at me. You got yours. He knows my craziness sometimes. Don't look at me. You got yours. He knows where we find ourselves. He knows where we are. But he loves and accepts us just the way we are. He accepts you for who you are. I like that. His love is not based on our actions or our deeds. And I want you to hear this. Thank God that he loves us because of who he is and not because of who we are. I said, thank God he loves us because of who he is and not because of who we are. The love of God is born from within him, not from what he finds in you and me. Because if his love was based on what he finds in you and me, it wouldn't be much to it. But thank God his love is born inside himself. And no matter where we find ourselves in life, how broken we are, how torn apart we are, he loves us just the same. His love is uncaused, and it is spontaneous. It is his very nature to love unconditionally. Now, I'm going to just tell you something. That's something we have a hard time doing as humans, loving unconditionally. Amen? We might as well say yes, because there's not a person in this room that don't struggle with it. We have a hard time loving unconditionally, but can I tell you, it's the very nature of God to love unconditionally. His love for us is based on his love alone. It has nothing to do with us. He loves us regardless. I want you to hear this. His love for us is what makes his grace toward us possible. You know why he shows us grace? It starts with his love. You want to know why he shows us mercy? It starts with his love. You want to know why he shows us his goodness? It starts with his love. Amen. He's the only constant we can depend on. He never changes. Thank God he never changes. His love for us never changes. His love for us never stops. I like that. The love of God never ends. Max Lucado said it in his book, A Gentle Thunder. He said it like this. God's love never ceases. Never. Though we spurn him, ignore him, reject him, despise him, disobey him, he will not change. Our evil cannot diminish his love. Our goodness cannot increase it. Our faith does not earn it any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. God does not love us less if we fail or more if we succeed. God's love never ceases. It never ends. It never stops. It always is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, the Message Bible, it says, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. I like that. Nothing thinkable or unthinkable can get in the way. Nothing high enough, low enough can get in the way. Nothing imaginable or unimaginable can get in the way. Nothing can get in the way of the love that God has for you. And it all comes from the fact that Jesus Christ has embraced us as the forgiven. He has embraced us in the love of God, and we have become his children. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Did you hear that? That's a message in itself. I can make that statement one more time, close it out, and go home. It's a message in itself. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's right, give him a hand. God is omnipresent. He's already been everywhere time will ever be. Oh, I like that. He's already been where time will ever be. That means his love goes everywhere he goes. That means his love is everywhere, anytime, any place. It's pretty awesome to think that his love is already waiting on us to arrive everywhere we will ever go, in every moment we will ever be. His love is already there. No matter where you go, His love is there. No matter what moments you walk in, His love is there. No matter how high or low you find yourself, His love is there. And when you're in the deepest depths of desperation in your life and you can't seem to hold your head up, His love is there. Woo! Give Him another hand. That's all right. And the amazing thing is that He already knows how we're going to respond and how we're going to act in every situation. He knows how you're going to act, Kathy, before you get where you're going. He knows how you're going to act before the next situation happens in your life. He knows how you're going to act before you face the next valley or the next mountain or the next trial of your life. But I like what He says. My love for you is greater than your response. It don't matter how you respond to the next valley, I'm going to love you anyway. It don't matter how you're going to respond to the next trial in your life, I'm going to love you anyway. It don't matter how you're going to respond to the next devil that rises up against you, I'm going to love you anyway. God hates sin. God hates sin. But He loves the sinner. I said, God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. It's not conditional love, it's unconditional love. Listen, He does not say, I'll only love you if you love me. He'll love you even if you hate Him. Are you listening to me? He does not say, I'll only love you if you give up sin. He said, I'll love you if you keep on sinning. How you live your life does not determine how God's going to love you. He's going to love you anyway. He says, I'll love you anyway. I'll love you no matter what. I'll love you regardless. I will always love you. Now, here's an alarming fact. Are you ready? Even if you choose hell over heaven, God's going to love you anyway. That's a real one, isn't it? I say, even if you choose hell over heaven, God's going to love you anyway. He's not going to love your choice, but He's going to love you anyway. He's not going to love your decision. He don't want you to wake up in hell, but He's going to love you no matter what. Romans 5, 6 through 8, Amplified Version says, while we were still helpless, powerless to provide for our salvation, at the right time Christ died as a substitute for the ungodly. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to willingly give his life even for an upright man, though perhaps for a good man, one who is noble and selfless and worthy, someone might even dare to die. But God clearly shows and proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now what He's saying is, it might be something for somebody to die for a noble, good person, but God loved us so much that even when we were in the deepest depravity of our sin, He loved us enough that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. We can be confident in the life that God has given us today. Why? Because He loves us. And that's where our confidence comes from. It comes from the love of God. Can I say that? That's why we can be confident today, because it comes through the love that He has for us. Here's something else we need to think about. Listen, if we did not do anything to earn God's love, then we don't need to live in fear of losing God's love. Whole nother message right here. If we didn't do anything to earn God's love, then we don't need to live in fear that we're going to lose His love. That's exactly where the enemy wants us to live all the time, constantly concerned about losing the love of God. Listen, you didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't do anything to get it. God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, there's not a devil in hell. There's nothing in life that's going to take it away from you. Amen. How many relationships are affected by the element of the fear of being lost? Far too many relationships are conditional in nature. In other words, people say, well, what can you do for me? How will this benefit me? How can I manipulate this situation for my benefit? You ever heard those words? You ever lived out those words? That's what happens in a lot of relationships. How can this best benefit me? How can I manipulate the person that I love to make them do what I want to do? What's this going to do for me? What's in it for me? That's why the divorce rate in the world is at an all-time high. Amen? Amen? I know that's not popular preaching, but I want you to listen. That's why the divorce rate is at an all-time high, because people are more concerned about what's in it for them than what it's in for each one of them. You need to understand that Jesus knows everything about you. We need to understand, Valerie, Jesus knows everything about our life, the past, the present, the future, the good, the bad, the ugly, and He still loves us regardless. My past, there's some places in my past, Jed, that wasn't too wonderful. There's some ugly places that wasn't too wonderful. But God loved me anyway. I don't talk to somebody in this room, and I don't talk to somebody online. There's some past things in your life you can't get beyond because the devil won't let you get beyond it. You can't get past it because the devil won't let you forget it. And some of you are still walking in some pretty rough places right now because you can't seem to get free from it. But God sent me by to tell you today, God's not holding your past over your head. God's not holding where you are over your head. He said, I love you regardless of where you've been. I love you regardless of where you are. I love you. But here's the difference. He wants to bring you out of where you are into His grace and mercy and the joy of His love. Amen. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Listen to me. You do not have to prove anything to God. He loves you for who you are. Elbow your neighbor real gently and say, listen, He's talking to you. You don't have to prove anything to God. He loves you for who you are. He sees through all your stuff. God sees all your junk. God sees the hell you've been walking through. God sees the hell some of you are living in. God sees the adversity you just recently walked through, and you thought about giving up on God. You thought about walking away from the Lord. You thought about walking away from the church. You thought about giving up on everything when it concerns God. Can I tell you, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. You thought about walking out of the Lord. You thought about throwing in the towel. You thought about laying it all down because you went through something you didn't understand and it felt bigger than you were, and the devil wants you to quit. And you've been at the point of quitting. But I want to tell you something. God sees your stuff. God sees your junk. God sees your weariness. God sees the lowness of your life. God sees the valley that you walk through. God sees all of that. And can I tell you, He loves you just the same. And the worst thing you could ever do is turn your back on God and walk away from Him. The worst thing you could ever do is walk away from Him. I want to encourage somebody in this room today, stay in the fight. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Hold on to God. Be a true and faithful servant to the Lord. It don't matter what things look like. It don't matter what things feel like. Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my home. It don't matter. God loves you. You don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on in my world. It don't matter. God loves you. Can I tell you, God's love can and will take you through anything. I got to say this again. It's another message, but I got to say this. Don't quit. Don't walk away. Don't turn your back on God. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to God. Be a true and faithful servant to the Lord. And you will find God's love, mercy, deliverance, and victory. Victory's not going to come if you're running. Victory's going to come in your standing. Dear God, there ain't none of this in my message. God help me right here. Victory's not going to come in your running. God's not looking for your backside. He's looking for your face. Ah, somebody hear me. God's not looking to see your rear end running the other way. God's looking for your face to be running into his presence, running into his glory, falling down before him and yielding yourself to God. God wants you. You need God. God knows all your stuff. He knows all your junk. But he loves you anyway. He knows how messed up you are, but he loves you anyway. He knows how messed up your life is, but he loves you anyway. That fact alone is more than enough reason for his grace to be called amazing. That right there is more than enough for his grace to be called amazing. That's why there's complete rest in God's love. Amen? Tap your neighbor again and say, listen, he's fixing to talk to you. You don't have to act like somebody else, somebody you're not. Are you listening? When it concerns God, you don't have to act like somebody you're not. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not. You don't have to try to be someone everybody else likes. God help me when I say this. I know that we want people to like us. I know we want people to think the best of us. But I can care less what the world thinks about me. All I'm concerned about is what he thinks about me and what he knows about me. I listened to part of Brother Jensen Franklin's message this morning, and he said something struck a nerve with me, and when I hung it up, I said it myself. I was standing in my office, and I said, devil, I don't care what you do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to give my very best unto him. Some of you got to quit tiptoeing through the tulips of the devil and quit letting him push you around and quit letting him put a thumbnail on your life. You got to stand up and say, devil, you can do what you want to. You can fight like you will, but I'm going to stand in the authority, in the power, in the grace, in the mercy of God. Get up on your feet. Give the Lord a hand in here. I'm going to stand with God. I'm going to stand with God. I'm going to stand with God. When it comes to God, you don't have to compare yourself with somebody else. There's too much comparing going on in the church. There's too much comparing going on in religious realms. You don't have to compare yourself when it comes to God. You don't have to compete for God's attention. You can be yourself, and he will love you just the way you are. Now, I may be just a little bit longer, so hang with me. I didn't mean to preach this long already, but I got to finish what God gave me. After all, listen, he loves you just the way you are. After all, he made you. There's no one who knows you better than God knows you. You don't have to change yourself before you come to know him. Too many people try to get themselves in order before they get saved. It ain't going to happen. You can't get good enough. You can't change enough. You can't get everything lined up before you get saved. It takes saving grace to line you up. You don't have to change yourself before you come to know him, because once you come to know him, you'll change automatically without even trying. I said, when you come to know him, you'll change automatically without even trying. Listen, it's not about right living. It's about right believing. I'm going to mess somebody up right there. Don't lose me here. It's not about right living. It's about right believing. Why? Because when you start believing right, you're going to start living right. Some of you thought I was preaching adverse doctrine, didn't you? When I said it's not about right living, it's about right believing. What I want you to understand, when you start believing right, you're going to start living right. When you start believing right, you'll start walking uprightly. When you start believing right, your life will turn around for the right. Amen? Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Anybody else feel God besides me in the house? Listen, it's not about what you're capable of. It's about what God's capable of. It's not about what you're capable of. It's about what he's capable of. What do you mean, Pastor? The Word tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you come to in Christ, everything about your life changes. But human nature has a hard time accepting that it's that easy. The world says it just cannot be that easy. But God in his infinite wisdom designed it so that it would be attainable, so that we could experience life the way God intended for us to experience life. Regardless of what we think or regardless of what we feel, God makes it easy. I said, God made it easy. There's a lot of people in the world who have never experienced the love of God as far as they know. But can I tell you this? What they do not know is even though they are not enjoying it, it does not change the fact that they're still loved by God, and he's patiently waiting to pour his love out upon them the moment they are ready to receive it. They may be rejecting it, but God's ready to pour it out. God's ready to give it. I like this. It's like having access to a bank account you never have to check the balance on. Wouldn't that be nice? It's like having a banking account you always have plenty, more than enough to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, anytime you want to do it. But while you got all of that, yet you're living in poverty because you don't even know you got it. Can I just stop and tell you that's where a lot of people are with God? We've got access to so much. We've been given access to everything that God has, everything that God offers, but yet we live in poverty spiritually because we don't even know we have access to it. God's got an unlimited supply. God's got everything you need. All you have to do is go after it. The world needs to know the amazing truth about God's love. Are you listening to me? Even if you have nothing to offer God, somebody online, listen to me. Somebody in this room, listen to me. Even if you have nothing to offer God, even if you have never done anything to deserve his love, even if you feel like you've ruined every opportunity you will ever have to ever receive his love and you're not worthy of it, it does not matter. God still takes great pleasure in you. So you need to stop going on your feelings and you need to start going on what thus saith the word of God. Because if you go on your feelings, the devil's always going to make your feelings adverse. But if you stand on what the Word of God says, somebody got to get this. It doesn't matter whether you're worthy or not. He takes great pleasure in you. I said, he takes great pleasure in you. Why? Because you are his creation. Can I tell you something you may not believe, but it's true according to the Word of God? You are his masterpiece. Now, don't you do it in a cocky way, because if you do, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray through. But next time you walk in front of a mirror, look at it and say, I'm a masterpiece. You with me? Not because of what I look like, but because I'm made in the image of God. He made me who I am. He made me what I am. You are his. Max Lucado said it like this. The love of God is like the Amazon River flowing down to water one daisy. Think about that one. The Amazon River flooding down to just water one day. Well, here's a fact for you. That's how much God values you. That's how much God puts on one person. That's how much value God puts on one person. You are worth everything to God. Did you hear that? You are worth everything to God. You are a priceless work of art in His eyes. I'm going to just say it like this. I want everybody in this room to hear me. You are priceless. When it concerns God, you are priceless. There's no value that can be put upon you. You are priceless to God. You're a priceless work of art in His eyes. He is willing to give you everything He has. Oh, God, help me. He's willing to give you everything that He set apart just for you. Did you hear that? He's willing to give you everything He has set apart just for you. He's not willing. He has already done it. How do you know? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Would you stand to your feet with me? I want to read that same verse in the Message Bible. John 3:16-18, listen, I never thought about it like this before. We know King James, New King James, for God so loved the world that He gave. Listen to the Message. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His only, one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God did not go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. We've heard the statement a lot, make America great again. The Bible tells us here, Jesus came to make the world great again. I said, Jesus came to make the world great again. I said, Jesus came to make the world great again. Are you listening to me? I said, Jesus came to make the world the better place. He came to make it great again. But listen, anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. I looked that word acquitted up. You don't know what it means? Acquitted means to free someone from critical charge by a verdict of not guilty. To free someone from a criminal charge by a verdict of not guilty. God wants us to rest in the fact that there's nothing that He has left out. He thought of everything we would ever have need of, and He concluded it all in His love when Calvary came. Excuse me. When Calvary came. Every promise He has ever made to us has been guaranteed by it. Every promise God has ever made has been guaranteed by it. And I want you to hear this in my closing. Not only did God love us enough to send His Son Jesus to redeem us from our sin, but He also loved us enough to give us access to everything Jesus has. He didn't just love you enough to send His Son to die for you. He loves you enough to give you access to everything He's got. But we have to establish a relationship with Him. I said, we have to establish a relationship with Him. All that was made possible by the finished work at Calvary. Listen, He has given us an all-access pass. You have an all-access pass with Jesus. I said, you have an all-access pass to Jesus. And I want to ask you, are you accessing everything He has available for you? Are you living in the endless love of God? You'll know the reality. As I look across this room, I see confusion in some people's eyes because they don't know really where they are. You have an all-access pass. You can have anything you want, need, or desire from God. All you have to do is go after it. All you have to do is seek it.